Here to start things off with his pal, the talented young comedian, Alan Young, is the Wizard of Oz himself, the one and only Jimmy Durante, in person.
Start off each day with a song. Now even when things go wrong, why you be better, you even look better. Stop that drumming! Stop that drumming! Stop that drumming! He's mad because he wasn't elected Queen of the Rose Bowl.
Well, it sure is exciting talking to you, Jimmy. Just that you hobnobbing with the President of the United States in the most historical city in America.
Yes, Alan, Washington is inspiring. I love to read all about those great dates in history. Lincoln, 1865.
Yeah, Jefferson, 1798.
Monroe, 1817.
Harrison, 1889.
Crestview, 1954.
Wait a minute, what kind of a date is that?
A redhead. I not only like to read history, I like to make it, too. And then to cap the evening, I went up to one publisher and asked for a copy of his paper.
A copy of his paper?
Yes, I asked for it because...
Yes, you asked for it because you were impressed by the great heritage of the American newspaper. Huge cables humming in news from far-flung outposts of the world. Tokyo.
Oh, city, Saka, Matanatayenya.
London. It didn't know where all the Indian fires did, eh? Scotland. It's a probably Munich, Nixonic. All that news brought to the public by the heroic men of the press. And that's why you asked the publisher for a copy of his paper.
No, I just wanted it to cover the bottom of my canary cage.
that's what I like about you, Jimmy, old boy. You know, you're always being of service to somebody.
Oh, Alan, I'm just an ordinary guy with an extra share of brilliance. Let me tell you about it. I was sitting at my piano the other day, but my mind was ill at ease. They were coming to take it away that afternoon. I was all by myself in a mellow mood, improvising symphonies. You know, my right hand was playing Mozart's Minuet, and at the same time, my left hand was playing Have a Banana from Carmen. And at the same time, my mouth was wishing a sextet from Luigini. And while all this was going on, what do you think my foot was doing? While keeping time, it was cracking walnuts. You see, I had to eat, too. Then in the midst of my soliloquy, a strange feeling came over me. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I found it. I found it. The lost cause. That's it, the lost cause. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I found the cord. Go out and find your own cord. So let's celebrate. I'm feeling great. I'm the guy that found the lost cord. That's it. It hasn't changed. I'll have my name in the Hall of Fame, 'cause I went and found the lost cord. Now everybody knows Tchaikovsky, a genius, waited 200 years to be recognized. Bach waited 300 years to be recognized. Beethoven waited 400 years to be recognized. But I can't wait that long. I've only got 2 changes of clothes. So let's celebrate. I'm feeling great. I'm the guy that found the lost cause. Ladies and gentlemen, how I struggle. I worked my brain to the bone. First, I put an A flat with a B minor. Then I put a B minor with an F major. Then I put an F major with a B minor. Then I tried an A and a B and a B and a G and a G and an E and an E and a D and a B and a G and a G and an E and a B and a G and a B and a G and an E and a D and a B. What kind of a piano is this? No apostrophe. People said I was mad. But that didn't discourage me. They said Mozart was mad. They said Puccini was mad. They said Louis was mad.
Who's mad?
My uncle, he was mad. But soon my efforts bore fruit and I found it. The lost cause. Music lover, do you realize what you're hearing? I'll play it again. That's not the chord. Neither is that. Neither is that. Neither is that. Neither is that. I lost the chord at the catastrophe. Somebody stole it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to sit down on the keyboard of this piano until the chord is returned. That's it, the lost chord.
I found it by sitting on the piano keyboard. I'll try it again. Very strange. I usually play by ear.
Say, Jimmy, I was going through the mail here, and look at this suggestion a listener sent in for the Durante question of the week. It is, what is the greatest book you ever read? What kind of books do you prefer, Jimmy?
Well, Alan, for lighter reading, I prefer those Sherlock Holmes stories like The Hound of the Basketballs. But, Alan, what are your favorite stories?
Well, I kind of like The Three Musketeers.
Say, I saw the picture they made of that story, Alan. Why don't we act out a scene from it right here? We'll make believe that I'm that dashing musketeer, Athos.
No, no, Jimmy, you can never play Athos. He was a famous fencer, and you don't even have a sword.
Ellen, how can you look at my face and say that?
Nah, Jimmy, that's silly. Why, you could never use your nose for a sharp instrument.
No? Then you never seen me slice salami at a barbecue? Come, Alan, let's be on with the Three Musketeers.
I was born in the southern part of France, of poor but honest parents. Father was the greatest grape crusher in all of France. He had six toes. He used five toes for crushing grapes and his big toe for a cork. Father's name was Cassidy, and one day, just as a joke, I threw a basket full of blue marbles into his grape crushing bin. Now on, he was known as Hopalong Cassidy. But every boy's dream was to become a swordsman with the King's Musketeers. And I went out to practice my three good friends, En Garde, Charlie, Joe, and Freddy. For months we dueled, and when I left, they agreed that I had the sharpest sword. Too bad, Lefty, Shorty, and Stumpy. Yea, verily, I was off to make my fortune in Gay Paris. Broad Bodkins, just as I had mounted my beautiful white horse and was about to leave, my girlfriend Cece came running up.
Farewell, my future musketeer. And always remember, even though I am here, my soul will be with you in Paris, and my mind will be with you in Paris.
All right, and if I make good, I'll send for the rest of the stuff. Au revoir. I rode away, and once in Paris, I joined the King's Guard. Shortly thereafter, I met a brilliantly bedecked swordsman.
Tally-ho and up, Buttons. And I might add, you have the oddest buttons I ever saw. But I like you, and to prove it, I'm going to introduce you to some of the fairest damsels in Paris.
Ah, a fig for you. Even though I've only been here a week, I'm already the greatest lover in Paris. Every day, just for the love of me, a woman kills herself by jumping off the palace tower at noon. What time is it now?
1 minute after 12.
Blowpoke?
Well, come, my cavalier. We must hie us hence to the castle of Lady Winter. She has plans which were stolen from the king. One of our musketeers has already gone to her castle, but she is holding him captive, so we must go there to get the plans for the king and also to save our fellow musketeer. Watch out, Screen Guild players. Our show has a plot this week.
I'm with you. On to Lady Winter.
Come, my friend, we must get the plans and save the third musketeer. Here's the door that leads to Lady Winter's boudoir. Let's go in.
All right. But remember, we're the three musketeers. All for one and one for all.
That's right, all for one and one for all.
Hello, you sweet, adorable boy.
How are we going to split this three ways?
Who are you men?
Permit me to introduce myself, madame. I am one of the king's huntsmen, and this is my fellow musketeer.
Yes, and might I say, madam, that you are the epitome of womanhood, and the graceful flowing lines of your figure are like the flawless perfection of all femininity.
Oh, where did you learn so much about women?
I read the small print and corset ad.
Touché! You say, now enough of this, balderdash, Lady Winter. We know you have the king's secret plan.
Oh, how silly.
Why don't you confess? We know you've captured the third musketeer, and we also know that you have the plan.
All right, I'll admit it. I have hidden the plan, but you'll never find out where. They're under something.
Please, Lady Winter, under where?
Underwear? Good heavens, you guessed it.
Now, aren't you glad you waited, folks? That's the plot I was telling you about.
Oh, at last, my game is up. Here are your plans. And your third musketeer is in that closet there. But he will never go back with you. He's madly in love with me.
Nonsense. Once a musketeer, always a musketeer. Open the door.
Tell me, third musketeer, do you want to come with us and fight for the glory of France? Or do you want to stay here and make love to this woman and become the lowest creature on earth? How do you feel about that?
I'm feeling mighty low.
I just say it with music. That's my technique. I just say it with sweet melody, but that's the language I speak. I could have went further, but there ain't enough notes. The way I play piano makes the girls rejoice. And that ain't all, besides I got a melodious voice. And it gets results. Last night I went around to where my girlfriend lives, stood underneath a window and began to sing. Who will be with you when I'm far away? Suddenly a father opened the door and yelled to a dog, go get him, Rover, it's a Nelly cat. Some guys buy pearls and rings for girls, their dough is freely spent. I get the same results, and yet it doesn't cost a cent. I just say it with music. That's my technique, yes, sir. That's my technique.
Jimmy, you know, tomorrow's the big race at Santa Anita, and I think I know how we can get a tip on a winning horse.
Well, youngie, making money on the race is a very hazardous occupation. My friend Umbriago once rode a horse in a race, and before he started, he fed the horse benzenine.
Benzenine?
Put Novocaine in his oat, stuck an electric battery behind the saddle, and lit a can of Sprinter under his mane. But he lost.
How come?
The other jockeys were crooked.
Oh.
But not that I'm interested, youngie. How are you going to get that check?
Well, Jim, you see, the other day I met a beautiful southern girl at the racetrack, and I drove her home. On the way, I parked in a lonely road and told her we were out of gas, but she slapped my face.
Why?
We were on my bicycle at the time. But on the way home, she told me your aunt owns a big string of racehorses, and she knows who's going to win the big race tomorrow.
Well, youngie, can't you get the information from her aunt? We could clean up a fortune on that race.
Jim, I don't know. The only bet I ever made was on an old nag at Saratoga. Besides, her aunt is such a terrific horsewoman, she won't talk to anybody unless they own horses, too.
Youngie, there's only one thing to do. You go over to their house, and I'll drop by later and tell them I'm a trainer for your racing stable.
Oh, Jimmy, that way we're a cinch to get the tip. Well, here's my little Southern Belle's house. I'll just park my bicycle and go on in.
Well, shut my mouth. If it isn't little old Alan come to visit little old me in my little old house. Why don't little old you give little old me a little old kiss and a little old hug?
Better hurry, I'm getting a little old.
But I'm not too sure about you. From the way you talk, I think you're a yaya, auntie.
Well, Missy, ma'am, I ain't no yaya, auntie. I'm from the deep south.
The deep south?
Why, sure. I'm from so far south that Chloe has to call me.
Well, if you're a real southerner, sit down here. Now, how would you like to have some chitlins?
Please, we're not even married yet. Oh, chitlins! That's a southern dish, ain't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, you're so cute. Hmm? Alan, let's pretend we're two little lovebirds. And now you're going to put your wings around my wings.
And now you're going to put your beak close to mine. And now do you know what you're going to do?
You expect me to lay an egg? You're crazy. But, Magnolia, I didn't come here for romance. I came to see if I get a tip from your aunt on the big race tomorrow.
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you what, I'll call in. Now, you be a gentleman, because Addie is a very dainty, aristocratic horseman. Yeah. I'll call in and leave you two alone. Oh, Andy.
Did somebody whinny for me?
Didn't I once bet on you at Saratoga? I mean, didn't we both own racehorses at Saratoga? You see, I'm a horse owner, too.
Well, powerful glad to meet you. You know, I love to talk breeding with a real horseman. Hmm? My best horse is Persian Warrior by Roman Fighter out of the Gladiator. What's yours?
Well, Franco American by Tomato Sauce out of the can.
Wait a minute. Are you sure you're a real horseman?
Why, sure. As a matter of fact, here comes my trainer up the steps. James Feedbag Durante.
Wait. I'd be mighty proud to meet him, but I'd better tidy up a little. Oh, look, my shoelace is untied.
Well, I'll be glad to bend down and tie it for you.
There. Young, you know you shoeing that old mare? She looks like she's ready for the glue factory.
No, sir.
Jimmy, this is Mrs. Fetlock Withers, the famous horsewoman, the one who's going to give us the tip.
Well, I'm happy to meet you, madam. At the track, I'm known as Long Shot Durante. I just bet on a horse that went off at 10-1.
Did he win?
No, the other horses went off at 12:30.
That does it. Why, you ain't no horse trainer. Just for that, I won't give you the big winner for tomorrow.
Oh, Jimmy, you've ruined everything. Now you won't get that information.
We're not licked yet, youngie. I'm going to use my animal magnetism. Madam, I'm going to make love to you Durante style.
Well, Jimmy, what are you going to do?
Listen closely while I walk around the room and let my corduroy Judd Hoppers rustle out a love song.
Oh, Jimmy.
Now, lean closely while I kiss you with my upper lip and my lower lip fans out the flame.
Jimmy, stop.
Well, let me nestle my head in the soft curve of your shoulder while my nose shoots pull with your Adam's apple.
Jimmy, stop. I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Sorry, I show no mercy.
Oh, Mr. Durante, you're irresistible. I'll give you the tip on the big race tomorrow. How much do you have to bet?
Well, we pooled our money, and between us, we got $500.
Well, I don't want the odds to change, so I'll bet it for you at the track. Give me the $500, and here's an envelope with the horse's name so you'll know who to root for. Goodbye.
Jimmy, open the envelope. What does it say?
Youngie, this is a catastrophe. Huh? Read this.
Let's see. Dear Chump, we're two Brooklyn girls, and we made you think we came from the land of magnolias and honey. We knew you would fall for our fake you all. Now we're heading south with your money.
That proves it, youngie. You can't beat the races.
We ought to celebrate the books at the head of the list that you've read. What is your favorite literature?
Is it a biography or a geography? Tonight is the night, we'll make sure. We've a magic carpet to make this trip.
We pull a string and away we rip.
The voyage is underway, on to our first destination.
There's a winter wonderland in that town below. We're heading for a magic place in Idaho, Sun Valley.
Well, Alan, here we are in Sun Valley, high in the snow-capped mountains of Idaho.
Say, Jimmy, look at that husky, sun-bronzed mountaineer standing bare-chested in that wind and snow. Hello there, you muscular man of the outdoors.
Greetings, Juan.
Well, why, it's the Marahara Jarrah of Rangapoo. Tell me, Marahara Jarrah,
How do you like skiing in the snow country?
Oh, it's terrific. I just come shooting down the ski slide at 70 miles an hour. Then I flew in the air, and I made a perfect three-point landing.
A three-point landing?
Yep, I landed on my left ski, my white ski, and whoop-ski.
I don't envy you in that cold climate.
You know, well, if I get frostbitten, my faithful St. Bernard comes to me with a keg of brandy around his neck.
Well, I see the dog, but the keg of brandy is gone.
Well, what do you know? Come here, Wilbur, you brave, heroic dog. Now, Wilbur, who drank that brandy?
That ain't a St. Bernard, it's a cockeyed spaniel. But look, Marahara, I want to ask you the Durante question of the week. What is the greatest book you ever read?
Well, back in Wangapoo, we don't do much reading, but one of my 89 wives is terribly influenced by books. 2 years ago, she wed Widow Women, and she had a little girl. Then she wed my son, and she had a little boy. Now I don't know what to expect.
Why?
Last night, she started reading The Egg and I.
Let's get off the net.
Any train in the 48 is great.
Full speed ahead, skipper. This beats any train.
We gotta go fast. We have to reach the Southland by the next bar.
Salute the mister. Take a bow and dance. We're arriving now
in Richmond, Virginia.
It's the largest city in the state. The capital, it sure is great.
Richmond, Virginia.
In Dixieland, we'll make our stand, for things are grand in Dixie.
Away,
away,
away, away,
away down south
in Richmond.
Well, Alan, here we are in Richmond, Virginia. Let's talk to that simple-looking little southern girl over there.
Okay, Jim. Pardon me, little missy.
Relax, boy. It's Hot Breath Hallahan.
If my Christmas tree is decorated like that, I won't take it down till Easter.
Look, Miss Hot Breath, what are you doing in Virginia?
I like it here, in the green grass country.
But Virginia is the bluegrass country.
When I'm around, the grass has nothing to be blue about.
Hot Breath, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah? You know the sign on the park that says, keep off the lawn?
Yeah.
I just walked by, and two blades of grass stood up and tore down the sign.
Miss Hot Breath, our question tonight is about books.
How interesting. I used to go out with two fellows who were named after books. Tom Swift and Boris Goodenough. But I left them.
You left them? Why?
Tom wasn't swift and Boris wasn't good enough. What are you laughing at? Tail padded and puny?
I'd like to learn from you. Let's turn out the lights and read a book.
With the lights out, what can you learn?
Jimmy, what's the answer question of the week, huh?
Look. Look, Fräulein Hot Breath, our question for the week is, what is the greatest book you ever read?
Well, I'll tell you, Bucket Beach. It's a book that I wrote myself. It's called Four Ways to Kiss by Hot Breath Hallahan.
Gee, Miss Hot Breath, what are your four ways?
Well, there's weak, mild, strong, and... Get out the jet job, brother. We're really flying tonight.
Let's take off. The 48 is great.
There's our next stopping point, James.
We're coming in on the beam.
There's no finer place in Texas, and he chooses who corrects us.
Never took a look at Austin.
It is thriving and it's growing. That's the spot and we are going.
See what there be in Austin.
Come along, everybody. We'll take you by the hand.
It's the largest capital building in the land.
Austin!
Well, Jimmy, here we are in Austin, Texas, the heart of the Southwest. Look at the cowboy in high-heeled boots and Levi's.
I'll speak to him. Tell me, sir, are you a cowpoke? With a cow, you don't poke, you pull. Why, it's Professor Nutburger. Mighty nice seeing you all down here in Texas. You know, I visited Texas a few months ago to entertain at the state fair.
Yeah, I know. And how the people loved you. You remember that little house you stayed in?
Yeah.
Well, they tore it down, and in your honor, they erected a vacant lot. Oh, to cuts, and I pulled another yabba.
Well, it sure is good to see you again, Professor. Remember the wonderful German meals we used to eat together?
Yeah, Schulz's Cafe, that wonderful Riening heißen Gansnulle und Sauerbraten.
Oh, yeah, and at Bayernberg's Biergarten, Rotenspluft, Stufen, und Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah, und at Hermann's Place, the Salzstange Kartoffelklapp mit Kiezkin und Hasenpfeffer.
Has anybody noticed the hamburgers are getting smaller at Barney's Beanery?
Professor, we want to ask you the Durante question of the week.
Yeah.
What is the greatest book you ever read?
Well, that is very difficult to say. But there is one book that had a very great influence on my life. The minute I looked at it, I went right out and married my wife.
What book could make you do that?
A bank book. Goodbye.
Take me home. You can travel north, south,
and east or west.
The books you read are books you need, and anyone's best.
It's great.
Wonderful.
Marvelous. Stupendous.
And